This episode of the Minimal Mac Podcast, Enough, is brought to you by HipChat. HipChat is your search for A-team collaboration, and that search is over. HipChat combines the best stuff from IRC with collaboration features like drag and drop file sharing, searchable chat history, and persistent group chat rooms. HipChat has desktop apps for Windows, Mac, and Linux, a web app, a native iPhone app, and there's even an Android app coming soon. HipChat also works with services you already use, like GitHub, Pivotal Tracker, Zendesk, Get Satisfaction, and even more. So sign up today and get a 30-day free trial at HipChat.com. That's HipChat.com. And join thousands of other companies who've said goodbye to IRC, Google Talk, Skype, and all that mess, and they're just using HipChat. And with that, thank you very much for listening. We'll enjoy the show. Hey there, Mike.
Hello, sir.
How you doing?
I'm doing very well. Very well. How are you?
I'm doing all right. We've got a guest on today, Mr. Dave Kalo from Everywhere on the Internet. let's see. 52tiger.net. The unofficial Apple weblog, TUAW. 11 Minutes podcast.
11min.net.
11min.net. Thank you very much, Mike. What am I missing, Dave?
We also do the sci-fi cast at the sci-fi.
The sci-fi cast.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. You were even on that one, but...
I was. How could I... Oh, man. I'm so embarrassed. Welcome, Dave. How you doing?
I'm doing very well, and thank you very much for having me.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you being on. And, I mean, for those that don't know Dave and don't follow his work, you're really missing out on some quality stuff. Of course, he's a member of the Read and Trust Network, like myself and Mr. Hurley.
No, I wish.
You're not. Oh, I'm sorry.
Fill me with my hopes, and you tarnish my hopes and dreams, Patrick.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry.
I don't write anything, I can't. So.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the problem.
But, you know, how about this? We'll make you an honorary member.
Okay.
I'm taking the vote right now.
I'll take that.
But yeah, Dave, you're doing fantastic writing work just about everywhere. Great coverage of yesterday's WWDC event.
Oh, thanks.
And iCloud and all that stuff. And I think that's the first thing that I wanted to kind of talk about here is, wow. It's amazing, actually, because almost without fail, everyone in my Twitter stream was saying, you know, and I follow a lot of, you know, the digerati, all the famous internet people. They don't follow me back. I follow them. but like Sean Blanc and yourself and everybody was saying that, like, there was so much packed.
Yeah.
Into that keynote that it was almost difficult to process. It would take a day or two just to process it enough to be able to write about it.
Yeah, I certainly haven't. And to tell you the truth, I haven't even watched the keynote yet. And I'm pretty sure I haven't seen everything because when we're, you know, in our foxholes, getting the reporting done as quickly as we can at Tua, you know about whatever you happen to be writing about at that second. And someone else is writing about something else, and someone else is writing about the third thing. And so I might not see the second and third thing. I come back and see the fourth thing. So I'm yet to learn just everything that went on the 6th. That is to say, I'm not wicked excited about things, because I definitely am, and I think iCloud will mature into a serious game changer for many.
I agree. And I think, once again, you know, oftentimes people ask me, like, how's the consulting business going and such?
Mm-hmm.
The fact is that Apple is killing it, basically. And not necessarily in a bad way. It's not like, you know, oh, they're coming in and doing, you know, things that, you know, taking things away from my business or anything like that.
Right.
They're making these things so simple, so easy to use, so reliable. They're making things like backup and the file system and all of these things, you know, even more opaque, you know, saving, you know, that sort of thing, that computers are becoming more and more appliances.
Yes.
Like toasters.
Mm-hmm.
Where you just walk up to it, you put in your bread, you press down the lever, and 2 minutes later you have bread. And that's, you know, a three-year-old could do it, right?
Right.
And the iPad is the digital equivalent of a toaster, right?
Oh, my goodness, yeah, the most elegant toaster you've ever seen. Now, there's a couple things. As an Apple specialist yourself, or a self-employed, you know, tech person, I imagine you have at least two subsets of clients, and tell me if I'm wrong. There's the basic end user for whom creating a simple backup is maybe a challenge, or not necessarily a challenge, but not as readily available to them, the instructions aren't. And then there's maybe another subset of the small business owner who's got 15 Macs that need to be backed up regularly and securely, and he's got, you know, mission critical data that simply can't disappear. I think you're definitely right in that Apple's making it simpler, and I think they're making it so that first subset of groups, you know, the end user, the mom and grandpa who want the pictures of the grandkids, are able to do the things that they've typically paid someone to do on their own more easily. I think, and tell me if I'm wrong, I think your business clients will remain clients because they're not up to managing 10 machines or redundancy or anything like that. But I could see how contractors like yourself could end up losing maybe a portion of that initial subset, where the, you know, the home mom who just wants to connect her Mac Mini to her TV and enjoy Hulu and Netflix and some other things might be able to get it worked out his or herself.
Yeah. Well, and I think that you're absolutely right. You know, that kind of pretty much in a nutshell is my two classes of users. There's the very small business owner that, you know, couldn't afford regular IT support on their own, and so they hire me for the few things they need. And then there's the individual users that, you know, really kind of need some handholding through things like backup and things like, you know, document, you know, how to organize documents and, you know, where things live and how to find it, you know, these sorts of things. And you're right. Apple is certainly eating into that with iCloud. And there will be less and less of those those folks' need to rely on me for that sort of thing. But I will stand to offer, and this is outside of the WWDC announcements, that Apple's got a whole nother program that they're hitting the small businesses with at the same time, called Joint Venture, which basically gives very similar support to what I give directed out of the business teams at the stores.
Right.
So, you know, about the only difference that I feel there is the relationship. But that's the piece that just cannot scale. And that even if, you know, and even in my business, if I were to have the need to hire two or three more people, that would once again be the part that would get lost, is that personal one-to-one I'm their guy relationship would then have to change.
Sure.
And that for a lot of clients, especially those very small business clients, they really need that level of interpersonal trust and that level of relationship that they'll never be able to get from any organization that's got more than one person doing the work. So, this is all neither here nor there. I guess my bigger point being is that from a simplicity perspective,
yes,
you know, the idea that that Steve put across on stage, which is that the PC, you know, laptops and desktops are being demoted to being devices just like any other device,
yeah,
and to be treated the same and to be on that same plane, and I think increasingly to work the same, to operate the same. Hence the reason why the interaction principles of touch from the iOS are merging back onto the desktop. As I've said before, I said, you know, I actually wrote a piece months ago now on Minimal Mac, actually when the Magic Trackpad was introduced, about how Apple was training us for touch.
Yeah.
Bing, bing, bing. Guess what? Guess what they just showed on stage? They just showed you, yes, we've been training you for touch all along, and here's how what touch is going to mean in macOS 10.7.
When I was watching, was it Craig Fidelini? Something
right.
like that. When I was watching him, because I've seen some of the keynote, the way that he was so fluidly using the touch stuff was just, I just thought, that looks good. That definitely looks like it's going to, for me, simplify things.
Yeah.
Maybe for some people it might feel like I don't want to learn another input. But I really love the gestures, the basic gestures at the moment that are in Snow Leopard, because I have a Magic Trackpad. So I'm really going to be looking forward to things like Mission Control and stuff like that, and the way that touch is going to now be this brand new gestures, and it looks really good. I love the look of it.
But don't you think learning to use a mouse or another input device, that's the unnatural thing? When you interact with nearly anything else in your environment, you pick it up and touch it with your fingers and manipulate it with your hands and your fine motor and your gross motor skills. So yeah. By saying, okay, now take what you do naturally. You pick up a cup or a pen or your wallet or a sandwich or anything, and now use your hand as the tool that you do with everything else with your computer. I think it's hard for us because we've been using mice and trackpads and other things for our entire lives. But when I watch my kids, for instance, I have an old PlayStation Portable that I really don't use anymore, but it's black and slick and has a big screen. And when my son picked it up for the first time, he began tapping all over the screen. Nothing happened. He declared it broken and put it down. Because to him, that's how electronics work. You pick them up and you just start touching like you do anything else.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. When I see Beatrix with the iPad and interacting with that, and then when she tries to interact with what she calls the big iPad, i.e. the iMac, and she's trying to figure out because of where that is space wise, I've got a trackball there as opposed to a mouse. Or I've been meaning to replace it with a Magic Trackpad for a while, just haven't gotten there yet. But you can almost see she's like trying to move this and looking. It's just it looks completely unnatural.
Yeah.
Whereas I stick the iPad in her hand, she's completely natural with it. She completely gets the iPad. She knows exactly how to navigate it, find what she wants to launch it, interact with it, close it. She's 3 years old, and she can use the iPad as well as I can.
Right, that's from day one as well, isn't it?
You know? Pretty much. I mean, it took just some basic, just showing her the basic concepts of you tap to open, you pinch to zoom, you know, pinch out to zoom, pinch in to close, and just showing her those basic concepts using the photo app on the iPad, and she got it within minutes.
Yeah, but I mean, you would have to show her anything novel for the first time. You know, the first time she had a book, you had to show her how to hold it, you know, orient it the right way, turn pages the right way. But I mean, she's so proficient because it doesn't ask her to manipulate it any differently than anything else she's met in her 3 years. If she wants to play with blocks, she picks them up and touches them. If she wants to look at a book, she picks it up and holds it. If she wants to use her computer, meaning being her iPad, she just titches up, touches it, and starts going.
Yeah. It's funny how you said her iPad. She certainly thinks of it that way.
Yeah, my son has one I get to use every now and then.
Yeah, exactly.
Pat, let me ask you a question, Pat. In regards to iOS 5. Now, it looks like Apple's really trying to... Well, they are, in a way, they're reining in some of the functionality. They're bringing, like, apps which are, like, a third-party ecosystem with their own, like, to-dos and stuff like that. And Apple is doing their own. Now, to me, that sort of screams, like, minimalism out of the box, that sort of stuff. Is that the way that you look at it? When you see that sort of stuff, you're like, okay, they're doing a great experience straight out of the box.
Well, and you know, I think that that's increasingly what Apple has been best at providing is a great out-of-the-box experience. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons why I even started Minimal Mac in the first place was the idea that you can take a Mac out of the box and have everything that most people need to get the job done.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That, you know, most people who need email, web, a good word processor, a good, you know, a decent, you know, maybe calendar program, you know. Yeah, exactly. That's, you know, the Mac comes with all of that, plus iLife, plus, you know, in some cases iWork, plus, you know, but the idea is you take the Mac out of the box and you don't need to necessarily download anything else to improve upon it unless you really want to.
Right.
That the basics are there.
And also the idea of, like, cutting the cord now is that you literally can take it out of the box and go.
Right.
I think that's so needed.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more. And it actually speaks to some of what we spoke about with you on a previous episode.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you'll remind people of the number shortly here. Talking about yourself having figured out a way, you know, with the tools that are available right now to kind of cut that cord. And to be able to have that cord cut straight out of the box as a straight out of the box experience. I actually saw the somewhere online, one of the people who's a developer who has access to the iOS beta showed what that, did a YouTube video of what that out of the box experience will look like.
Yeah.
I'll see if I can track that down again. But it's just like you would imagine it. You take it out of your box, you start it up, it asks you if you have an Apple ID, and you have the, if you do, great. You plug in that Apple ID and your password, and it says, okay, syncing up with iCloud now, and it just goes and starts downloading everything onto that device.
It was episode 34.
That you talked about
the way that I've sort of hobbled it together myself.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, so it's even things like Scott Forstall was saying, things like allowing you to now create like calendars and mailboxes and folders straight from the iOS apps.
Yeah.
As a way to just make it its own computer.
Yes.
That you don't have to go to something else to do something. You don't have to go to iPhoto to create a photo album to sync it. You can now create photo albums and organize your photos that way.
Finally. Yes. And that's, you know, yeah, great. And certainly what we believe in.
Here. Exactly.
And, you know, some of the other features, I think, really kind of speak to, you know, the, you know, quote unquote, what we believe in ethos. You know, the but these are things we kind of already knew a bit about. I love the full screen mode and the way with the multi-touch gestures to switch between those and to get back to the desktop and basically to just swipe between your various open running full screen applications. I think that's really wonderful. I really like the idea of versions and of the autosave.
That's just incredible. That's going to completely change the way we compute, in my opinion. Just them two things. You won't ever worry about things anymore. We'll just be like, right, done with this application, and you just get rid of it. And it's very different. It's a very different way. A lot of Lion is really Apple trying to show it. This is a very different way of computing now.
A much simpler way and a much more refined way, in a way that relieves stress and relieves you having to cognitively think about, okay, where am I going to save this or where am I going to put this? You can just open apps up, you know. Now, the one thing I really didn't see and wasn't really shown, and not running the Leopard beta, I don't know how do you get to your documents that you've, you know what I mean? Like, if the idea is to kind of make the file system less and less important, or at least that you don't have to navigate it as much, how do you open these documents? You know, I assume they've been saved to your documents folder.
Right.
How? You know, and is it on a per app basis? You know, do you, in your documents folder, you're going to have like a little pages folder and a this folder and that folder. And
or do you start pages with the app? Like you right. do on iOS, you start with the app and then select the file from there.
Hmm. Right, and that was my idea, is that these folders would just simply be the containers, but that's not how you would actually open things, that the stuff that's in the Pages folder would be available to the Pages app and the stuff that's in, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know. That's going to be very interesting to see. But, Mike, I just got to say, I think you're absolutely right about, I don't even think we've stated strongly enough how amazing autosave and versions is going to be. I mean, Patrick, think in your work, how many times have people called you because they've lost a document because the computer crashed or their browser crashed or they simply forgot to hit save? And that's been such a persistent problem since
it's happened to me.
Yeah, right. Right. And we're all paranoid about that. Every time you get up to get a drink, hit save. Every time you blink your eyes, hit save, because that's because you literally never know when a problem can occur. And we've all become so paranoid about it. At least I have. But I mean, that's gone now. That is gone now. Is amazing. Yeah. And versions is amazing too, because I had this issue not too long ago. My wife needed a large document ready to print, and we printed it, and she got to where she needed to be and found it was the wrong one. And so I had to search through the history and find the right one and pop it in the Dropbox and get it printed. And that whole scenario will be avoided in just a few months.
And what I love is that they do it in that time machine way. It doesn't need that graphic, but it's so much cooler that it has it.
Yeah.
You know, the stars move. It's not just a picture.
Right.
I love that attention to detail.
Right. Batman's car doesn't need giant wings on the back, but it's pretty cool that it has them.
Well, and I think too, from a minimalist perspective, and I did watch up to this point in the keynote. I haven't watched the whole thing, but I did watch up to this point. Apparently, what they're going to be saving, in fact, with the versions is deltas.
Yeah.
So, and by deltas, what that means is only the changes.
Yeah.
Right. So that those deltas will take up a minuscule amount of space,
right?
Because it won't be the entire document saved all the time. It will just simply be, you know, the minute little changes. Every time it's saved, it'll go, you know, kind of timestamp it and say, okay, here's the changes from this version.
I feel like I've never heard the term Delta update before, and now I feel to have heard it every half an hour for the last 2 days.
Yeah, it's kind of funny the way that works.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of knew what it was. A funny thing. All of this is very similar to a product that a company that I used to work for developed for macOS 9, and it was called Rewind. And right. Rewind allowed you to rewind documents, rewind the entire OS. You know, you have a problem, your computer's crashing, you don't know what's causing it. Well, you can just rewind to a time before it started crashing, and that, you know, it would change. You know, it would remove all of the changes that happened, mm-hmm. and replace it, you know, and bring you back to that version that it had timestamp. It was resource hungry. It could certainly render computers unbootable. It had a lot of major bugs, and it was a great idea, and it would have been an even better idea if it worked. But you know, but there were some features of it that really worked, and that for under macOS 9 were absolutely amazing. For instance, you could actually rewind the trash. and that worked pretty well.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
That's cool.
So you throw something in the trash, you empty the trash, you need to get something back, you can rewind the trash.
I like that.
Yeah. I mean, it had some cool, innovative stuff. And a lot of that cool, innovative stuff, while certainly not new ideas, Rewind basically stole a lot of ideas from a PC product called GoBack, Microsoft actually eventually bought. And some of the restore functionality that currently exists in Windows is actually from that purchase of GoBack.
System restore.
And system restore.
I used to system restore. I'd be like, oh, I've broken something. System restore.
Yeah, that's all from a. That was GoBack. That basically was GoBack rebranded as Microsoft System Restore. But the bottom line is that I'm familiar with a lot of these concepts and ideas going back all the way to macOS 9. To see them being implemented in the OS, finally now, 10 years later, is just... And done right is amazing to me. Really amazing to me.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you. I know you haven't seen it yet, or at least I suspect you haven't seen it yet in person. But do you know or do you feel this will be the best implementation of, you know, those attempts you've seen over the past decade?
I really think so, based upon what I've seen so far. And I can't imagine that that this long and this much work being put into it and this many testers testing it.
Yeah.
You know, it will just work and will do so elegantly and will do so far better. I mean, the thing that blew me away about the keynote that I missed yesterday was the ability to copy and paste from previous versions into the current one. That blew my mind. Just simply because
documents.
Right. Because I know from a technical perspective, having worked on that that product 10 years ago, what's being done there and how amazingly hard that is. I mean, it's really difficult. it's nothing short of magic. You know, I mean, when I saw that, my jaw just dropped. I actually had to rewind it and look at it again to say, okay, wait a second. No, they can't. No, that can't. Yeah, they really are. But wait, how is the delta formed if they...
What? Yeah. Wait,
no, that doesn't... Oh, but it could... Oh, I see what they're doing. Yeah.
I got to hit pause for a second. Hold on.
It's like, you know, when you actually figure out how the magic happens, you're like, the reality of it is even more impressive than the magic of it.
Exactly. You know what I
mean? Yep. So, well, we've run way long here. There's things I really want to cover with this that I feel almost obligated to. The iTunes in the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
iTunes and iCloud thing. Mm-hmm. Thoughts on that? I do have to mention that I kind of called it, but that was the easy part. What are your thoughts?
I think the important distinction to make right off the bat is that it is not a streaming service, so it's not a replacement for RDO or Spotify right now. It's simply access to your music on your devices. So you don't think of it as an RDO replacement. Think of it as an always accessible locker of your music. But other than that, it's fantastic. I can't wait to start playing with it. I really can't wait to start playing with it.
Yeah, I've already played with it a little bit and downloaded some tunes on, say, my Mac that, surprising enough to me, I had purchased and weren't there and had never come up before when I was like, you know, look for purchases you haven't downloaded yet or whatnot. So I was actually surprised that I did have some there that were not in my library that I had downloaded and that function didn't find before. On both of my iDevices, my iPhone and my iPad, I did, download a couple things that I didn't have on there just to kind of see how the process looked and worked and things like that.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty slick. I do have to mention the streaming thing, though, because that was the thing I got wrong about my prediction.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me that's a play that they want to make in the future.
And I suspect they will in their Apple way. That is when they're darn good and ready, when it's 100% correct, and when it's absolutely positively the way they want it to be. They know people want that. I'm sure they do. But it's not ready, or it's been determined that this is not the time. And Apple is so impressive in their ability to not succumb to what the fans are demanding, and instead release things when they're darn good and ready, and darn good and right.
And they didn't need to do that yesterday.
Right.
They didn't need to do the subscription service. What they needed to do was to show to Google and Amazon, we can do what you're doing, and we can do it better. Now, they don't need to now say, and we're also doing this. Save that for later.
Right.
There's no point doing it now.
My current speculation is that would be a better announcement for, say, for instance, the fall music event that they almost always do.
Indeed. Sure. Sure, because developers don't care about that. They care about getting the iCloud API and all that kind of stuff.
And you can't do anything with the iPods now. There isn't iPod announcements really to be made at this event, because iPod.
It's going to be all about iCloud,
yeah,
right?
What do you do? Just say, oh, here's another iPod with the new processor, and we made the Nano look different again.
Yeah, you guys enjoy that.
Yeah, so you know, they you're right. This iCloud will now change that full music event, Pat. You're completely right, and it will be about that. More than it will be, maybe for the next couple of years, than it will be about the actual iPods. It's how they give you your music, not what you're listening to it on.
Yeah, I agree. So we probably should wrap this up. Mm. This is actually, I think, our longest episode to date.
May well be.
I mean, seriously, we've only touched the surface of what was talked about and what it means for the future, what it means from a, you know, enough sort of perspective and a minimal Mac perspective. It's huge, and it's a lot to unpack. And I think it's a lot to unpack because, I mentioned this on Minimal Mac, the iCloud is more an idea than it is a product. It's a number of things, and it's a number of ideas, all kind of constituting one big idea. And that one big idea is basically that you have access to your data, and that the device doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And that you don't have to worry about backing it up. You don't have to worry about saving it. You don't have to worry about, writing over previous versions. That you can just walk up and use this thing without fear, and that the cloud will become the hub for all of it.
And I know you're wrapping up, Pat, but I just want to say that is such a significant thing, because when you think Steve Jobs and Woz pretty much single-handedly about two people? Let's say double-handedly created the personal computer as it has existed for the last, 40 years? 35, 40 years?
Mm-hmm.
And now this change, when it is fully mature, I think will be just as dramatic a change. And to see one person usher in such huge leaps in computing in a lifetime is astounding to me.
I couldn't have said it better myself, and so I won't. Thank you, Dave.
That's why we have him on.
Exactly. So, once again, run down the 5 or 6 dozen places people can find you. Mr. Halo?
You can find me at the unofficial Apple web blog, which is tuaw.com. You can find me at 52tiger.net. That's number 52tiger.net, which is my personal site. I also do a podcast with Mike, who is sitting radio left, called 11 Minutes. And I do another science fiction podcast with a couple other friends called The Sci-Fi Cast, which you can find on iTunes and online.
Yay. Well, thanks for being on, and I think we're gonna have you on a couple more episodes, so I'm sure we'll talk later. And I want to make sure that we thank our good sponsors, HipChat, for sponsoring today's episode. Really appreciate it, and also being the inaugural sponsor here for the Mental Mac podcast.
And Pat, if somebody wants to sponsor us, where can they go?
They should go visit the fine folks at the Fusion Network. That's
FusionAds.net.
FusionAds.net. We welcome sponsorships, and those guys are great to work with, and you will find no better deal in the advertising space, because they are directly targeting the right products to the right people. And if you got one of those right products, why don't you come on down and get in front of the right people, the 35,000 or so that download this podcast every month. So, all right. Well, thank you very much for listening. And thanks, Dave, for being on. And Mike, as always, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Cheers.
Much love, brother. All right. Cheers.
See ya.
And we'll talk to you later.
We'll do. Bye.